Amen.
Man, the title of my sermon tonight is Not Broadcasting People's Sins. Not Broadcasting People's Sins. There are people out there that derive a sick pleasure from reporting other people's sins to other people. This is known as gossiping, tattling, tale-bearing. You know, they just want to take somebody aside. Hey, did you hear about what so-and-so did? Did you hear about what sister so-and-so has been into? Did you hear about what brother so-and-so did? Or sometimes they'll even couch it as some kind of a hyper-spiritual. Well, you know, we need to pray for so-and-so because here's what they've been into. You pray for so-and-so because here's what I found out about their personal life or whatever. And so we do not want to broadcast people's sins, go around telling everybody this is gossip. Now, look, here's what I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about reporting things to the proper authorities in a situation. You know, if somebody's kids are out of line, that needs to be reported to those parents. If someone commits some horrible crime where they're actually doing something violent, like, you know, somebody who's like a molester or a rapist or a murderer or something like that, you know, they need to be reported to the police, right? They need to be reported to the proper authorities. You know, I'm not talking about, hey, going to the pastor and saying, hey, here's a problem in our church that needs to be dealt with. Or going to the boss at work and saying, hey, here's something that's going on in the company that needs to be brought to your attention. You know, it's one thing to report something to the person who actually has something that they can do about it, that's actually responsible for fixing it. And it's another thing of just telling everybody and just delighting in being the bearer of bad news and spreading all kinds of negative things. Now look, we are all sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. And I don't care how good somebody looks on the outside, they are a sinful person because every single one of us is a sinner. You look at some of the great Christians in the Bible like Peter, and you know what? He knew in his heart that he was a sinful person. And he told Jesus, depart from me, Jesus, because I'm a sinful man. When he was being recruited to be a disciple, he said, you don't want me to be your disciple because I'm a sinful man. Okay, why? He was just humble. It's not that he was worse than the people around him. It's just that he was actually humble enough to acknowledge the fact that he was a sinner. Whereas a lot of the people around him weren't. Because remember, the Pharisees, they thought that they were pretty good, didn't they? Now let's look at what the Word of God says about this in Proverbs chapter number 11. And the reason I bring up everybody being a sinner is that you don't want your sins publicly broadcasted, do you? Every time you sin, would you like that to be publicly broadcasted? I remember when I was a kid, preachers would try to scare us by telling us, hey, when you get to heaven, there's going to be a big screen and God's going to play all your sins on that screen for everybody. Who's heard that kind of preaching before? You know what? That's sad how many hands are going up. Did you see? Put those up again. That's disgusting. That's sad. That's because that is such bad doctrine. Yeah. And isn't it sad that literally two-thirds of the auditorium puts up their hands? Yup, I've heard that taught. Hey, that is garbage. Yeah. That is, what kind of a salvation is that? Right. Oh yeah, we're saved. And then we go to heaven and it's like, all right, now let's go over. This isn't even part of my sermon, but I feel like I just have to go off on this.
Yeah. Amen.
Good Amen. Stinking night. How many people have been taught this garbage? I heard it. I grew up being taught it. Listen, think about how stupid it is. You know why we sin is because of our flesh, because of the old man. We've got the old man and the new man, the flesh versus the spirit. Well, guess what? When I die and go to heaven, the old man's gone. The flesh is gone. The old man's not going to heaven. You know who's going to heaven? The new man. That's why the Apostle Paul said, when I do that, I would not. It's no longer I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. He said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. It's his flesh that was making him sin. And that's why the Bible tells us we got to walk in the spirit and not walk in the flesh. But here's the thing that makes it so dumb is that if I got to heaven, I'm the new man that goes to heaven. The old man's dead. Why would God beat up on me for something that I didn't even do? Because the guy who did that stuff's dead and gone. It makes no sense. But the Bible teaches that as far as the east is from the west, so far has God separated us from our sins. God said that he would put all our sins behind his back. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Oh, just kidding. I'm going to play them on a big screen when you get to heaven. How beautiful heaven must be. Like, yeah, great. I can't wait. I can't wait to get there and be publicly humiliated in front of everyone for every bad thing I've ever done in my life. And I remember hearing that preaching, and I remember being a little kid. So the sins that I had done back then were pretty minor. And I remember just thinking, like, what am I going to do? You know, this stuff's going to all be public. You know, I was thinking about, like, pushing a kid on the playground and, you know, taking snacks that I wasn't supposed to have or something. It was just like, this is horrible. That's a false doctrine. That's a wrong doctrine, okay? I don't want my sins publicly broadcasted. You don't want your sins publicly broadcasted. And it is not biblical to publicly broadcast people's sins. Let's see what the Bible has to say. Look at Proverbs chapter 11, verse 9. A hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth, and when the wicked perish, there is shouting. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding shuts up. All right, is what that means in the original Hebrew. No, I'm just kidding. But it says, hey, a man of understanding holdeth his peace. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. What does the Bible say about the person who loves to tell all the secrets? He's a talebearer, and the one who's of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. Okay, why? Because not everything needs to just be blasted and broadcast publicly, according to the Word of God. But to the talebearer, man, they want to broadcast everything publicly. They enjoy and delight in the sins of other people to make them feel better about themselves, because they are the hypocrites who destroy their neighbor, as it said there in verse number 9. Look, if you would, at Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22. So it said in chapter 11, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22, lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. Go to chapter 17. While you're turning there, I'll read for you Proverbs 25, 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. Proverbs 17, 9, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love. Did you get that? He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Look at chapter 10, verse 12. Chapter 10, verse 12. And while you're turning to chapter 10, verse 12, let me explain to you how my life works. This is how my life works. This is the story of my life. This is my ministry. I get up and teach and preach biblical things. Amen. Then people turn around and take what I preach to bizarre, stupid, and ridiculous extremes.
Yeah, they do.
Totally ignoring everything else I taught, totally ignoring the rest of the Bible. They'll take something good that I taught and just go crazy with it and turn it into something stupid and ridiculous. Yeah. And then I get up and moderate that and say, no, you idiot, that's not what the Bible's teaching. And then I have to moderate that. And then I teach the next biblical truth. And then somebody takes it to some wild and crazy extreme. And then I have to moderate that and say, no, you don't get it. Here, let's balance that. It's like basically people just want to take things and go crazy with them. You know, I'll get up and teach something like, hey, look, when there's a child molester, a pedophile, hey, we got to blow the whistle. We got to expose that.
Right.
Duh, that's a good teaching, amen?
Amen?
And look, this isn't the Roman Catholic Church.
Right.
This isn't one of these churches where there's some pedophile, some molestation going on, and we're going to sweep that under the rug. Hey, that's not the type of thing that you conceal. You know what? We've had a pedophile in our church before, and you know what we did? We called the police, and we turned over the evidence to the police because of the fact that that is a violent crime. It's wicked. And you know what? When some pastor turns out to be a sodomite, like there's a pastor in New Mexico. He turned out to be a sodomite. He's getting together in the park with a bunch of sodomites and being a sodomite and whatever, and he got arrested for being a sodomite in the park. He was caught in a sting where the police had a sting operation where they caught a bunch of perverts in the park. because they were within so many feet of a school and whatever. And here was the punishment that they gave. He was put to death. No, that's not the punishment. They don't do the biblical punishment. He was issued a citation of $150. So he had to pay like a speeding ticket, basically, for doing this act of perversion. Now look, a guy like that, yeah, of course, that needs to be exposed. This guy's an imposter. He's a fake pastor. He's a reprobate. He's committing horrible acts. Or you'll have these serial adulterers that just keep pastoring. Obviously, look, yeah, somebody's got to blow the whistle on that. And let me say this, if a pastor commits adultery, he's permanently disqualified.
Right.
Permanently, commit adultery one time, permanently disqualified. That's pretty clear, and that's what I believe, that's what I teach. But people will take things to the stupidest, most unbiblical extremes. Like, for example, just, well, we got to expose everybody who sins, we got to expose it. No cover-ups. It's like, what in the world? So it's a big cover-up. I guess if a church member commits a sin and we help that person get right and we don't broadcast their sins to the world, that's a big cover-up. A cover-up of what?
Right.
A cover-up of sin? Well, guess what? Love covers a multitude of sins, is what the Bible says. Now, here's what people would say to me. They'll say, hey, why don't you practice what you preach, Pastor Anderson? I don't see you covering sin. Hey, let me explain to you why you don't see it. Because it's covered.
Right.
I don't see you concealing a matter. Here's why you don't see me concealing all those matters, because they all got concealed.
Right.
See, all you ever hear about is the stuff where I'm blowing the whistle on some extreme wickedness, some extreme situation that needs to be called out, some horrible reprobate or some violent criminal or something that I'm calling out. That's all you hear about. You know what? You don't hear about me concealing the matter every single week of my life. Every single week. There is not a week that goes by that I don't either hear from one of our 400 church members or one of my many listeners all across America and all across the world, or from one of my many pastor friends, you know, where they come to me with a situation. What do I do? You know, and it ends up, you know, involving people's sins, obviously. Look, people are sinners, and constantly I'm hearing the dirty laundry of people in our church, people outside our church, people online, people in the churches of my pastor friends when I'm trying to help them deal with situations like that. And guess what I don't do? I don't repeat those things. I don't even repeat them to my wife. I don't repeat them to anyone. Why? Because it's brought to me in confidence and it's not to be broadcast. We don't broadcast other people's sins and gossip about other people's sins. Now look, I've been in a church before where the pastor was a big gossip. And I remember sitting there talking to the pastor, and he'd start talking about the sins of people in the church. And I remember just thinking, like, why are you telling this to me? I'm a teenager. Why are you telling me about this adult person in the church and their sins? And I just remember thinking, you know, I was respectful to the pastor, so I didn't say anything, but I just remember thinking, like, you shouldn't be telling me this. And this pastor, he ended up really making a lot of people mad and really hurting a lot of people's feelings and really causing a lot of problems by just talking about stuff that he shouldn't have been talking about. You know, when he hears about those things, he's not supposed to repeat those things. Okay. And I'm constantly hearing about people that are struggling with drugs, struggling with alcohol, people that are looking at pornography, people that are having serious marriage problems, people that are having serious mental problems. I mean, just all kinds of issues. And you know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to help those people. I'm trying to provide counsel and lead them to repentance and restoration. And here's the thing. You don't hear about it because I don't talk about it because I never will. You know, and all people hear about is when we throw people out of the church, they don't hear about all the people that get restored.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a huge number of people that have been restored, but we'll never talk about it because of the fact that it's none of anybody's business.
Amen.
Because we want to conceal the matter. Love covers a multitude of sins. And you know what? Let's say I'm out and about and I catch someone doing something sinful or something, I'm not going to be like, all right, let's hit YouTube, make a video. What in the world? When have I ever done that? And I defy anyone to tell me right now when I have ever done that. And yet, I've heard from idiots lately saying, well, this is what you taught us to do. I never taught that garbage. Because, and you know what? And the reason I know this is because, like I said, I hear about horrible sins every week. I spend hours and hours and hours on the phone trying to help people, trying to fix things, trying to guide people. Yeah, I was just on the phone with a brother in Christ last night, you know, trying to help him out. He's going through a dark place right now. He's been involved in serious sins. I'm trying to help him get his life back together. You know what? That's private. Okay? But gossips, they would love to tell everybody about that. They'd love to say, hey, you know, we haven't seen so-and-so in a while. Here's why. You know what? That's wickedness.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Makes no sense. I defy anyone to show me when at any time in the last 15 years of being a pastor, I've ever gotten up and made a YouTube video about people's sins in the church. Or, hey, here's what the teenagers have been up to. Or here's what this person's been up to. It has never happened. Now, here I have gotten up and made videos where preachers were teaching heresy.
Yeah.
Somebody's teaching false doctrine. Folks, that's not the same thing.
Right.
Broadcasting people's sins is totally different than, hey, we need to set the record straight on doctrine and call out the false teachers and warn about the heretics. Hey, the Bible teaches to do that, but it does not teach to broadcast people's personal sins, okay? I've called out sodomites and reprobates. I've called out rapists. I've called out false teachers. But no, I have not and never will broadcast people's sins. Now look, as far as pastors go, I've not really been big on counseling. You know, I'm not, you know, a lot of pastors literally even put an ad in the phone book and say, hey, I'm available for counseling. I've known pastors who did that. Literally. I've been soul winning with pastors where they'll go door to door and they've just offered counseling to people door to door. Hey, listen, if you need any marriage help or any counseling, I'm here for you to do that. You know, now, God bless the pastors who want to do that, but I don't want to do all that. But even with me not being a real big counseling guy, I still end up doing a lot of counseling because obviously a lot of people come to me and obviously I try to help those people and walk them through things. But you know, when people come to me with their problems and they start giving me sordid details about their life, I always stop them and say, hey, I don't want to know the details. I don't need to know.
Yeah, right.
You know, just give me just the general gist of what's going on, but don't give me the details. I don't want to know. And here's the thing, and if I did get those details, I certainly would not repeat them. Not even to my wife, because of the fact. And look, even if my wife's not going to tell anyone, it doesn't, you know, I don't want to rely on that, you know, on her accidentally telling someone. Hey, I'm responsible to say, hey, this is private.
Right.
It's not to be repeated. Okay. Now, this should be common sense. This should go without saying. But people take these crazy extremes. I just saw some idiot on Facebook. And by this guy on Facebook, he's one of the biggest idiots I've ever seen. He's always posting something stupid for months now. He got on Facebook and he said, you know, pedophiles aren't just, you know, people who molest children. It's also a 23-year-old dating a 16-year-old. What kind of a stupid, idiotic teaching is that? I've got news for you. A 16-year-old is fully developed. Now, look, I've known godly Christians who literally were dating when he was like 24 or 25 and she was like 16 or something, and they got married and lived happily ever after, because guess what? That's a fully developed person there. So, you know, this is what I'm talking about. It's like we get up and preach against pedophiles, and then some retard says, oh, some Christian 23-year-old dating a Christian 16-year-old is a pedophile. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Don't women stop growing when they're like 15 or something? Hello, is anybody home? The guy who said that's an idiot. Okay, that's stupid. Yeah, you're right. Muhammad was a pervert with his 9-year-old. That's a pervert, okay? But guess what? A 16-year-old, it could be like an adult, okay? So give me a stinking break. It's ridiculous. And I'm calling this stuff out because I preach things that are biblical, and then people take them to these bizarre extremes and ridiculous extremes, and we need to get some moderation and get some balance and actually get the whole picture of what the Bible teaches, okay? Now, obviously, there could be a big maturity difference between a 16-year-old and a 23-year-old. There could be a sophistication disparity there, but not always. You know, you could have a really mature 16-year-old girl and kind of a late bloomer of a 23-year-old guy. Why are you just condemning the innocent with such a stupid comment? 16-year-olds, okay, do not have the bodies of children. That's stupid and ridiculous. Now, where did I have you turn? Anywhere? In Proverbs 10. It says in verse 12, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. Do you see that? Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. Go to Proverbs chapter number 18, verse 8. And by the way, these kind of bozos that you know, typically people that take things to those kind of weirdo extremes, like, oh, this 23-year-old guy dating a 16-year-old. And look, I'm not talking about fornication. I'm talking about they're just dating. Obviously, fornication's always wrong. You say, well, that's illegal. Yeah, it's illegal if you're fornicating a 23-year-old and a 16-year-old. But guess what? Fornication is illegal in God's sight no matter what age you are. Fornication is just wrong, period. But there's nothing wrong with people dating and then they're going to get married or whatever. Now, look, if that girl's dad says, hey, I don't want this 23-year-old guy dating my 16-year-old daughter, then that guy should go hit the road. Yeah. But to call him a pedophile is stupid and ridiculous. And, you know, people who make those kind of crazy claims, they're probably just overcompensating because they're a weirdo themselves. Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? I have no qualms about saying that about the bozo that was saying this on Facebook, because everything that this guy posts is stupid. For like 3 months straight. And this was just the straw that broke the camel's back. Delete, block. Where are we? What chapter? Proverbs 18, verse 8. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Don't turn there, but Leviticus 19, 16, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Go to Proverbs chapter 26. Folks, we got a lot of scripture here, don't we, tonight? What have we seen so far? Hey, the talebearer reveals secrets. He that's of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. He that covereth the transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. Love covers all sins. Don't go up and down as a talebearer. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Don't miss this. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Notice, the talebearer and the flatterer are the same person. Right. Here's what that means. People will talk nice to you to your face and go talk bad about you behind your back. Right. The people that flatter you to your face the most are the people that are talking the most smack about you behind your back. Don't meddle with the flatterer, because the talebearer is going to reveal secrets. And let me tell you something, too. If they're talking bad to you about other people, guess what they're going to do? They're going to talk about you to other people.
Yeah, that's right.
The same person who gossips to you about the dirt on everybody else and the smut on everybody else, they're going to reveal your secrets, too. They're going to find out what's negative in your life, and they're going to broadcast that to the world. Take it to the bank. Proverbs 26, verse 17, he that passeth by and meddleth with strife not belonging to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears, as a madman who casts firebrands, arrows, and death. So is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am not I in sport? I was just kidding. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. See, the talebearer is the one that just keeps throwing the wood on the fire, keeping the strife going, keeping the sin going in everybody's mind, keeping it fresh, and not letting people repent and live things down and move forward with their lives, just rubbing their nose in past sins continually. That's what the talebearer does. They just keep on throwing wood on that fire. Where no wood is, the fire goeth out, so where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. You say, we already read that one. That's actually a repetition. It's a different verse saying the same thing. Look at verse 23. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. You know who actually needs to be called out in front of the whole congregation? It's the wicked talebearer. It's the deceiver. It's the infiltrator. It's the person going around and spreading garbage behind people's backs. And I'm going to get to that a little bit later where the Bible specifically says that that person should be called out publicly and rebuked. You know what? If I find out that you smoke pot, hey, I'm not going to call you out in front of the whole congregation. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to you and try to help you get that right and repent and get that out of your life. You don't think people have been reported to me in this church? Hey, so-and-so smokes pot. And you know what I did? I tried to get that person to stop smoking pot so that they can keep coming to church and serve God. And I tried to get them to get that sin out of their life. Not like, hey, everybody, so-and-so smokes pot. And smoking pot's wicked. And I'm doing a whole sermon against pot smoking this Friday night at the Red Hot Preaching Conference. And I'm against it. I don't like it. It's wicked. It's dangerous. I've got all kinds of things to say about it. But let me tell you something. I found out about multiple people in our church that have smoked pot. None of them were children. They were all adults that smoked pot. And you know what I didn't do? You know what I did not do? I did not humiliate that person. I did not repeat that to other people. You know what I did? I just tried to help that person get right, is what I did. I talked sense into that person. And multiple times, multiple situations. You know, when I found out that somebody is looking at pornography, whether they told me that or someone else told me that about them, I explained to them, look, pornography is going to destroy your brain. It's going to destroy your body. It's sinful. It's wrong. And I preach to them how harmful it is and how they need to stop. And here's what you do. And you know what? I lovingly guided that person to repentance. I didn't say, all right, everybody, let's create a whole web page about so-and-so's porno addiction or drug addiction. What about when I find out about people that are addicted to prescription drugs? And they're abusing prescription drugs, and they're buying them on the black market, and they're lying to the doctor and getting prescription drugs. What about when I find out about people that are mentally ill, and people are struggling with mental illness? And you know what? You know what I try to do? I try to get that person professional help. I give them practical advice. Pray for them. Help them. What I don't do is get up and broadcast, hey, this person is mentally ill. Hey, everybody. The only time I've ever publicly said that someone was mentally ill is when someone was publicly doing crazy things and people thought, oh, this is a horrible person. And I said, hey, give that person grace. They're struggling with a particular mental problem. You know, that's the only time I've ever said that was to defend someone. To try to help people understand what somebody's going through. Because look, I understand that a lot of mental illness is a crock. I get that. But you know what? There are real chemical imbalances in the brain where it's not just some voodoo problem, you know, where we don't know what it is or whatever, but where they can actually explain to you chemically what's going on in that person's brain and explain to you what's happening. And you know what? People go through that. You know, whether it's a postpartum depression, postpartum psychosis, whether it's some kind of a drug-induced psychosis if they've abused drugs in the past, or whether it's something with their diet, or, you know, I've known people who've lost their minds due to having their amalgam fillings removed, and they had their amalgam fillings removed in an unsafe way. I've known two people who've completely lost their minds after having their amalgam fillings removed. I mean, they had to be institutionalized, both of them, for weeks. And they were both saved Christians. And they both, after a few weeks in the loony bin, came out and were totally normal and got back to normal and lived a normal life. So you know what? That's a real thing. I mean, that was a heavy metal toxicity that, you know, pushed them into that state of psychosis. That's out there. But you know what? So what good is it going to do, though, to basically just broadcast people's problems, broadcast people's sins, broadcast things that are, you know, people are having marriage problems or whatever. That, you know, that's not to be broadcast. There's no point. It's not biblical. It says, whose hatred is covered by deceit, verse 26, his wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein. So here's the thing. The person who goes around talking bad about other people, you know what's going to happen to them? Their wickedness gets exposed to the whole world, is what happens. Kind of backfires, right? They're the ones whose wickedness gets exposed to the whole world. Because he that rolleth a stone, it shall return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Go, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I hope you understand the sermon tonight. It's not difficult to understand what we're saying here. Do not broadcast people's sins. And you know what? Here's what I like. When people come to me, and here's the thing. I don't need you to come to me and tell me people's sins. Okay? Unless it's something that is actually worthy of them being thrown out of the church. And guess what? We don't have to sit around wondering what are the reasons why people get thrown out of the church, do we? Do we have to sit around and wonder, I wonder what crosses the line? Isn't there a list in 1 Corinthians 5 that tells us exactly which people are to be thrown out of the church? Isn't that what the Bible tells us? And when we see that list, let me get there myself in 1 Corinthians 5. When we look at that list, it says in verse number 9, I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of the world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. He's saying, look, you misunderstood me. So Paul had the exact same problem that I have. He taught something good, and then people just took it to an extreme. He told them not to company with fornicators. They thought he was talking about unsaved people, that like anybody who's doing any of these sins, we can't be around these people. He thought they're talking about of this world, and he says, well, you'd have to actually exit planet Earth. Because guess what this world's filled with? You know, drunks, fornicators, all these different things. He's saying, here's what I'm saying. He says, now I've written unto you not to keep company, verse 11, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one know not to eat. He's saying, look, obviously unsaved people are going to act like unsaved people. But when you have someone who's professing Christ, when you have someone who's claiming the name of Christ while they're living in fornication, claiming the name of Christ and they're a drunkard, claiming the name of Christ and they are one of these other things, a railer, which railing, by the way, in this context has to do with falsely accusing people, lying about people, slandering people. The Bible often talks about the railing accusation. And so people who are going around and slandering, lying about people behind their back and doing these things, you know, these people, if they're Christians, are to be thrown out of the church. Now, we've practiced this all along. I literally threw the first person out for fornication in the first year of my ministry here. In fact, the first person that I ever baptized at Faith Forward Baptist Church later got thrown out for being a fornicator. Okay? Because I went to this person, and here's the thing. You know, this young lady, she got saved, she got baptized, and she came to the church for a few months, and in those few months, I taught this doctrine. I didn't just immediately expect her to just immediately be living the godly Christian life, but I taught the Bible, I taught these things, I preached it from the pulpit, and then after a time where she'd had plenty of time to learn and grow as a Christian, I went to her and her boyfriend, because her boyfriend got saved and started coming to the church as well. And I went to them and I said, look, this is what the Bible says. You know, you've either got to get out of fornication or you've either got to move out from one another, or you've got to get married, or you have to leave the church. Because you can't just be a part of the church while you're living in fornication. And they ended up leaving. And you know what? Obviously that was hard. When I'm starting a church from scratch, the church is tiny. This is one of my first converts. And, you know, I had to send her away. But you know what I did? I did what the Bible said.
Yeah, that's right.
I had to do what the Bible said. You know, whether it was fun or not, maybe that was just a test. Maybe God's testing me. Hey, is this guy going to follow the Bible? Or is he going to do what he wants to do? And so, you know, I had to send her away. And whenever I find out, here's my policy. When I find out that somebody's living in fornication, I go to that person. I don't get up and say, all right, everybody, hear ye. These people are fornicating. You know, here's what I did with people that are living together, okay, in fornication. I went to that person and I said, and these are people that are like new believers. They just got saved and, hey, turns out they're, I said, you have 1 week to either get out of that situation or you have to get married or you have to leave the church. You got 7 days. And I've performed a lot of weddings like that. A lot of those shotgun weddings, I've done it. I've probably done at least, I kid you not, I think I've done 10 weddings like that that were based on a 7-day ultimatum where I said, you have 7 days to get married. And they're like, all right, see you 6 days from now. And they're like, all right, go get the license. And I've done like 10 weddings like that. And you know what? Because a lot of people said, okay, yeah, we'll make this right. We want to be together anyway. Yeah, let's get married. We've been looking for an excuse to get married anyway. So they fixed it. They got it right. Okay. And here's the thing. Let's say people made the wrong choice and they said, well, we're just going to leave the church then because we're just going to continue in this. Then you know what I told that person? I said, okay, well, you can come back as soon as you're married. Because then you fixed it and then you can come back. Right? And then it's over. It's forgotten. Now, look, is there a time when people need to be called out publicly? Is there a time when people sin and they need to be called out publicly? First of all, it would have to be something worthy of them getting thrown out of the church. That's where I would call someone out publicly, is sometimes people need to be rebuked publicly and thrown out of the church for something that they've done. But guess what? It's going to be one of the things on this list. Okay. And here's the thing. If you're a young person in our church, if you're a teenager in our church, listen up. You're a teenager or a young adult in our church, and you commit fornication, I'm going to call you out publicly. But you know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to broadcast your sins to the whole world. And you know what? When we've rebuked people publicly for that, guess what we did? Cameras off. We don't live stream that. But here's our biblical basis for that. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It says, it is reported commonly that there's fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles. That one should have his father's wife, and you're puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together in my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. So what we see here is we see people who are committing fornication, and he says, hey, you know, sometimes you have to gather the church together, and you have to rebuke that and cast that person out of the congregation. But here's the thing. I don't film that and put that on YouTube. Now, there's always some idiot recording it. I have no control over that. I have no... Folks, put yourself in my position. I go out to restaurants with people, and you know what they're doing? They're recording me. Filming me. I call people on the phone. They're recording me. People are just constantly filming me and recording me all the time. And it's weird. I'll be sitting at a restaurant talking, and I just look over, and somebody's just like... just filming me talk for like a half hour and stuff. That's weird.
Yeah, it is.
But this is the day that we're living in. And you know what? You better be careful what comes out of your mouth these days.
Right.
With this technology, maybe in the past you could get away with blowing off your mouth and saying stupid things and telling filthy jokes and things. And you know, it's always been sinful. It's always been wrong. But you know what? Nowadays, you blow off your mouth and somebody's recording you all the time. And if somebody's not, then the government is, you know. And
yeah.
Somebody's recording you. People are recording me all the time. And you know, but you know what? I'll tell you where my heart is. Whenever I've had to do church discipline, you know what? I turn off the cameras. I'm not interested in broadcasting that to the world. I'm not interested in permanently ruining that person's reputation or putting that online. That's stupid and wicked. Okay? Now, I've had to deal with things publicly sometimes, but here's the thing though, once it's dealt with, it's forgiven and forgotten and we move on. Amen?
Yeah, that's right.
It's what the Bible teaches. So is there a time to call something out publicly? Yeah, if it's on this list, if somebody commits one of these major sins and it becomes a matter of church discipline where somebody has to be brought before the church and, you know, punished for that, and what we mean is that they'll be excommunicated or whatever, or given a chance to repent, but that's not something that we would broadcast to the world. And once it's over, it's over. It's forgotten. And you know what? If you bring it up again, shame on you. Amen. Shame on you. It shouldn't be brought up. If we have people in our church right now that were thrown out in the past and they've been reinstated, you know, shame on you if you bring that up. Well, I got to warn people. No, you don't. That is not your job to go around spreading all this stuff to so you can warn everybody about everybody's past sins. Amen. That is not your place to do that. Now, who else needs to be called out publicly? Go, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. So, and here's the thing. This is what I like when people do. When people know about something and they think it's on this list, here's what people do when they come to me, because I don't even want to know your sins. I don't want to know the sins of everybody, and if I do know them, I'm certainly not going to repeat them to someone else. But here's what sometimes people do. They come to me and say, hey, Pastor Anderson, there's a situation where someone in our church is doing X, Y, and Z. Do you want to know about that? Do you want to know who that person is? And then I have the option to say, no, that's not a serious enough thing for me to know. I don't want to know, because I don't want to know bad things about everybody. But you know what? There are wicked people who just want to know every bad thing about everybody. Yeah. You think that's a godly person? Do you think it is a godly person who says, I want to know the dirt on everybody? That's wickedness in your heart, that you delight in that. Don't rejoice in iniquity. Rejoice in the truth. And you know what? I don't want to know the sins of all my church members whatsoever. Now, if someone's involved in a serious sin that would cause them to get kicked out of the church, then yeah, I need to know about that so that we can church discipline that person if necessary. But if it's not up to that level of church discipline, then I don't want to know about it. Now, if my kids are sinning, I want to know about every little thing they do wrong, because they're my kids and it's my job to fix it. So look, if my kids do something wrong, I don't care how minor it is, come tell me about it so that I can get that straight. Amen? Yeah. That's different, though, because I'm the parent. Do you see the difference? Yeah. And let me tell you something. If I find out about your kids doing something sinful, you know, I might come to you as the parent and talk to you, hey, you need to deal with your child. Or I might go to you, the husband, and say, hey, you need to get your wife's mouth under control, and then you're going to be a big baby and cry about it and leave the church. That's what usually happens in that situation. And then your wife's going to beat you up when you get home. But here's the thing. You know, when people come to me, and sometimes people come to me and say, hey, if someone's doing this and that, do you want to know about that? And if it's something that's serious enough for them to be thrown out of the church, I say, yeah, I need to know who that is so I can go deal with that. Okay. But a lot of times I end up saying, nope, that's not serious enough. I don't need to hear about that. And here's what I usually say. I say, hey, since you're close to that person, since you know about this situation, you know, maybe you should lovingly try to correct this yourself, and don't get me involved because I don't want to know. Hopefully you can just restore this person yourself and not get me involved. I don't want to be involved in that, okay? It's got to be something serious enough to be thrown out of the church before we, and even then you don't just go around telling everybody about it. You do what? You take it to the people that need to deal with it. And then we can make a judgment on it and take steps in this. And hopefully we can restore that person. You know, you read the Bible. In Revelation, you have a woman named Jezebel who is committing fornication, and she's even seducing men in the church. And you know what God says? I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Even Jezebel was given space to repent. But then it's like Christians today, they don't want to give people space to repent when they fornicate, when they're taking drugs, when they're drunk, whatever. Hey, if God gave Jezebel space to repent, shouldn't we give people space to repent? Or if somebody commits fornication, do they just get thrown in the trash? If somebody gets drunk, do they get thrown in the trash? If somebody gets high, do they get thrown in the trash? Now look, church discipline is going to be in order for those major sins. But you know what the goal of church discipline is? Restoration. The goal of church discipline is supposed to be restoration. Now, obviously, people that are infiltrators and reprobates, we never want them back. And we won't allow them to come back. If they're here as infiltrators, reprobates, or whatever. But here's the thing. Hey, every fornicator or drunk or railer or extortioner or whatever that got thrown out of our church is welcome back as soon as they repent. Period. They're what? And sometimes people have even come to me and said, are you sure that we should accept so-and-so back? And I said, we have no choice because Christ commands us to accept this person back. We can't even, why are you asking me like I have the power to override Christ? We must forgive. We must restore the repentant. It's demanded in Scripture. It's not even optional. I do know. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let's see who needs to be called out publicly. Because it's not everybody's sins that we call out publicly. You know who it is? It's the railers and slanderers and false accusers that get called out publicly. What does the Bible say? 1 Timothy 5:19, against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. The Bible says, against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. Now there are two ways that you can take this pronoun, them. Who is the them referring to in verse 20? Now I've heard some people just take verse 20 all by itself, out of context, and just say, them that sin, rebuke before all. If anyone commits any sin, rebuke them publicly. Wow. That's all we would do. We would literally just get together for a rebuke fest three times a week. You were at the grocery store. I saw what you were wearing. It was that skirt was too short. You were in pants. You know, I saw you, you know, at that video store. And I saw the movie that you took home. And what, you know, that's all we'd be doing. Just nonstop, just everybody, anybody sins? Hey, I saw you yelling at your wife. I saw you yelling at your husband. It's going to get called out in front of everybody. It's insane.
Yeah, right.
Okay? That's not what, you can't just take this verse by itself. Them that sin, rebuke before all. You know, and just repeat that. And folks, you're crazy. Mm-hmm. The them is a specific them. Now, you could take this in two different ways. You could take it as referring to the elder. If an elder sins, rebuke him before everybody, that others also may fear. Or those that are the witnesses that are sinning, rebuke them before everybody. Let's find out which one it is. Is it the elder or is it the witnesses that get rebuked before all that others also may fear? Well, first of all, let me say this. Witnesses is closer to the pronoun in question geographically in the sentence. And it's also plural and the witnesses are plural. But here's the thing. Let's compare Scripture with Scripture. Go to Deuteronomy 19 and I can show you conclusively which one we're talking about. Deuteronomy chapter 19. And again, I do think that pastors who commit gross sin should be called out publicly. I'm talking about pastors who, you know, are committing adultery or I'm talking about, you know, major, like the type of stuff that would get you kicked out of the church or the type of stuff that's a grievous sin. But you know what? If I'm going to get publicly rebuked every time I sin, I'm going to get publicly rebuked every day. Because guess what? There's not a day that goes by that I don't sin. Because you know what? The Bible says the thought of foolishness is sin. And the Bible says to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I am not perfect. I don't walk on water. And so if I were to get publicly rebuked every time I sin, that'd be happening a lot for every pastor in the world, period. Because everybody's a sinner. But guess what I'm not doing? I'm not snorting cocaine. I'm not going to hookers. I'm not, obviously those are major sins that must be dealt with. And like I said, some of those things I believe permanently disqualify you from pastoring. You know, I had a guy who even said, well, I committed adultery a long time ago, you know, and I said, I would never ordain you to pastor, period. Because I said, you're not faithful. You know, and I said, hey, I love you. Continue serving God. I want you on my team. But you know what? You're not going to be ordained to the ministry ever. If someone else ordains you, that's them. I'm not going to. A pastor whose wife or a man whose wife committed adultery. I said no, because the wife is supposed to be faithful. And, you know, that's a big deal. But the point that I'm making is that, yeah, there are certain wicked things that permanently disqualify. Okay. And obviously, that's a different situation. Look what the Bible says, though. Let's compare Scripture with Scripture. Compare 1 Timothy 5, 19 and 20 with Deuteronomy 19. Is everybody there in Deuteronomy 19? Verse 15, One witness shall not rise up against a man for an iniquity or for any sin in any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. Now let me ask you something. Is the Apostle Paul quoting this scripture or referring to this scripture in 1 Timothy 5? Because what does he say in verse 19? Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Deuteronomy 19, two or three witnesses, right? We've got to get it from the mouth of two or three witnesses. So this is what the Apostle Paul has got on his mind, okay? Let's look what it says next. If a false witness rise up against a man to testify against him that which is wrong, verse 16, then both the men between whom the controversy is, shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days, and the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness, and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. So shall you put away the evil from among you, and those which remain shall hear and fear, and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. Who's going to hear and fear? People are going to hear and fear about which wicked people? Who are the wicked people we're going to hear and fear about in Deuteronomy 19? False witnesses, right? People who get up and are false witnesses, aren't we supposed to punish them so severely that everybody hears about it and is scared to do the same thing?
Yep.
Now let's look at 1 Timothy. Keep your finger there. 1 Timothy 5:20. Them that sin rebuke before all that others also may fear. Isn't that consistent with Deuteronomy 19?
Yep.
You rebuke the false witnesses. It's not saying, hey, rebuke every sin that others may fear. Hey, you catch somebody, smoking pot, wearing a short skirt, blasting rap music in their vehicle. You know, hey, I pulled up to so-and-so at the intersection. It was like, boo. And it's like, well, we got to rebuke them before everybody. Is that what the Bible's saying? We got to rebuke them before everybody. You know, if I say, hey, Charles Landreth was listening to Snoop Dogg at the red light. I pulled up next to him and he was just blasting the double D-O, D-O-double-G was just blasting on his stereo. Folks, you think I'm going to call that out publicly if that ever happened? Now, that never happened. But if that, what? He doesn't even have a car. So this is a lie. This is a false accusation. Case closed. Case dismissed. Case dismissed. No, he was doing it 1980s style. He had a boombox on his shoulder, ghetto blaster. Yeah. So, but here's the thing. That's dumb. To just apply it to any sin, rebuke every sin publicly. That's stupid and ridiculous. It's insanity because we have 400 people. They're probably doing at least one sin per day. So every single week, that's like 2,800 sins minimum that we're going to have to deal with on the Faithful Word Baptist Sin Exposé Program. It's going to be like the Jerry Springer Show on steroids. Okay, no, when it says, them that sin rebuke before all that others also may fear, there's a context. What's the context? The false witnesses, we punish them so that others will fear. And how does a false witness get punished? Well, under God's law in Deuteronomy 19, this is a great punishment. Verse 19, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. Now that could be minor or that could be severe.
All right.
Stop and think about this. What if you falsely accuse somebody of murder, first degree murder? You falsely accuse somebody of first degree murder. You know what the punishment for that false accusation is? Death. Oh, and by the way, falsely accuse someone of rape? Death. Well, that would put a stop to some of these, false rape charges if the punishment is death. And look, I'm for putting the rapist to death. Amen? Rapists should be put to death, but you know who else should be put to death? People who falsely accuse someone of rape should be put to death too. That's what I believe. Because if you accuse someone of something, and here's the thing. It only is fitting that in the New Testament, okay, because we're not dealing with a criminal code or a civil law of the children of Israel. It makes sense that in the New Testament, when someone is backbiting, slandering, falsely accusing, and lying in the church, what are they trying to do? They're trying to tear down other people and hurt their reputation. Well, you know what the punishment is? You're going to get your reputation hurt. you're going to get torn down because you're going to get publicly rebuked and called out for being a lying, slandering talebearer. That's what's going on, friend. And so people who want to broadcast people's sins are wicked people. People who want to know about the sins of other people are wicked people. People just, I got to get these juicy details. I want to know what's going on. Situations that don't even involve them. Situations hundreds of miles away. Situations thousands of miles away. This is why people watch Jerry Springer. This is why people watch the soap operas and the talk shows and they read the Gossip magazine and People magazine, and they want to know every twist and turn of Angelina and Brad's relationship, and they want to keep up with the Kardashians and all this stuff. Why? Because they're trying to just get the dirt and just learn the smut and dirt and sin of everybody's life. And you know what? That's what the Catholic priest is doing.
Yeah.
He's sitting in that box all day getting all the dirt on everybody. Pervert. Weirdo. I'm just going to call it out for what it is. People who want to know the dirt on everyone and want to know all the scuttlebutt, that is the wickedness of their heart. They're a wicked person. They're a gossip, a talebearer, and a busybody. That's what they are, because they even want to know those things. If you want to know those things, then check your heart. Because I'm constantly telling people, don't tell me. I don't want to know. Because if it's not serious enough for them to be thrown out of the church, I don't need to know. Let's just try to help that person get it right. Let's get it fixed. Let's get them to repentance. But I don't want to know the details. And when I do hear details, you know what I try to do is just throw that down the memory hole and forget about it.
Yeah.
Stop thinking about it. I don't want to think about that stuff. I don't want to remember that. If you pass this stuff around, hey, did you see this? You know what? You're a talebearer. That's the definition of a talebearer. You're a gossip, you're a talebearer, you are wicked, okay? Falsely accusing people is wicked. Sharing rumors that are not confirmed, not from the mouth of two or three witnesses, or from people who've proven themselves to be unreliable witnesses, they've proven themselves to be liars and slanderers and frauds, but you just repeat, well, maybe, I mean, I just heard, you know, maybe, I don't know, just saying. And boy, these things get exaggerated, and they get blown out of proportion, and people spread these things. And you know who you're destroying? Yourself. You're destroying yourself, and you're destroying the person that listens to your garbage, is what you're doing. The Bible says, don't meddle with strife not belonging to you. Hey, conceal the matter. Cover the transgression. And it's like, oh, it's a big cover-up. Folks, you know what? A cover-up is some pedophile priest getting shuffled around. Yeah. That's a cover-up.
Right.
You know what's not a cover-up? Hey, you know what? I found out that one of the members of our church was committing sin, and you know what? I took him aside privately and corrected him and helped restore him, and we got him back on track, and now he's not smoking pot anymore. And now he's not living in fornication anymore. Hey, he's not doing this anymore. Hey, there's nothing wrong with restoring people and fixing things. And even when things are called out publicly, it's not broadcast to the whole stinking world. Because you know what? I don't want to broadcast that junk, because you know what? I don't want to feed into all the wicked gossips out there that just can't wait to just hear all the dirt and get all sick, wicked people. People with love are not interested, okay? This is a clear teaching of the Bible. Don't take things that are good teaching and take them to unbiblical extremes. Yes, we expose perverts and pedophiles and rapists and people who actually commit these horrible atrocities and get away with it. Yeah, obviously that has to be called out, okay? Or, you know, someone like Bill Clinton or something, you know, he's the president of the United States and he's just committing adultery in the Oval Office and doing this, abusing his power and stuff. You know, obviously that's something that has to be dealt with, right? Because that's similar to like a pastor of a church. I mean, the president of the United States is somebody who's in a position of power and he's in a position of responsibility. And, you know, he can't behave that way. We can't have a president behaving that way. We can't have a pastor behaving that way. Obviously, those things need to be dealt with, okay? But to sit there and take that and say, hey, every sin of every teenager, every sin of every church member, every marriage problem, every, you know, to want to broadcast that stuff is stupid and unbiblical. And I've given you a ton of Bible tonight. telling you, hey, there's a time to conceal it. There's a time to cover it. There's a time to say, hey, you know what? Let's forget about that. It's done. It's forgiven. It's forgotten. There's been repentance. It's over. Let's move on. And even when we do have to throw someone out of the church, you know what? That is done. Or even if we have to publicly rebuke something, hey, it's done just in this congregation. And anybody with 1 ounce of Christianity in their body after repentance has taken place is going to drop it. And you know what? If you can't forgive and you can't drop things, you are a babe in Christ, and you don't even have the basics down of understanding how Christianity works or how the local church works. And people that refuse to accept, and by the way, people who refuse to accept the judgment of the church can hit the road.
That's right. Good.
What did the Bible say? I mean, look, the Bible says, hey, you know, in certain situations, things are brought before the church. And you know what? If they won't hear the church, then let them be to you as a heathen man or a publican. Amen. See, the church is not just this paper tiger. The pastor is not a paper tiger. The leadership of the church is not the Queen of England or something where we're just kind of up here to just kind of, you know, be a figurehead or something. You know what? There are decisions that are made, and you know what? When we deal with something and the church is in one accord on something, and there are a few people who just refuse to accept what the rest of the church accepts, then you know what? They just need to go somewhere else.
Amen.
If people just want... It's not like the church... Look, if the church decides to throw someone out and, you know, it's brought before the church, it's like, hey, we're throwing this person out, and everybody's like, yeah, get out. And one person is like, well, no, I still want to keep that. It's like, no, you need to respect the judgment. You know who respects the judgment of the church? Even God does. Even God said, what you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven, and what you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven, in the context of church discipline in Matthew 18. And not only that, but, you know, if we restore someone, it goes both ways, folks. We've restored people, and people are just like, no, I can't accept it. I cannot accept this person being back. And I said, hey, the Bible says this person's restored. The Bible says that if they're repentant, we restore them. We bring them. Well, you know what? That's unacceptable. Now, look, I'm not saying you have to be friends with people that you don't approve of. And this is an important thing to understand, too. I'm going a little long tonight, but I'm almost done. This is an important thing to realize. If there's someone in the church that you have a problem with, if there's someone in the church that you don't like, if there's someone in the church that you can't stand, then you know what? Here's how you fix that. You just stay away from that person.
Amen.
You just steer clear of that person. And here's the thing. But if you see them, you shake their hand and say hi and act normal. But if they invite you out or something, you just say no thanks. And you just seek out other friends. You know, look, I've had people come to me before when we were going on a missions trip and say, hey, I'd appreciate it if you don't pair me up with so-and-so because I don't get along with them. And you know what I said? No problem. I didn't say, how dare you? You must be friends with everyone. I said, hey, no problem. I get it. Thank you for telling me, because it was just privately brought to me. Nobody's feelings get hurt. I just pair them up with somebody else. No big deal, right? Life goes on. But what you don't do, let's say somebody gets thrown out of the church and they get restored to fellowship and you don't approve of that decision, and you're like, well, I don't think they should be here. Then here's what you don't do. You don't go around telling everybody how this person shouldn't be here. You know, I can't believe it, blah, blah. You know, you need to just shut up and understand that, guess what? You're not always going to agree with every decision that the pastor makes. You're not always going to disagree. You're not always going to agree with every decision that the church as a whole makes. You're not always going to agree, but those decisions stand.
Amen. That's right.
Those decisions are binding. Those decisions stand. And you know what? There's always the option of going to a different church where you can actually get on board with the program.
Right.
Where you actually love the pastor. And you know what? If you don't love me, why are you here?
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, look, I'm here because I love you. I'm here serving you because I love you. I love the members of our church. I expect that to be a mutual feeling. I love you, you love me. I'm not trying to sound like Barney and Friends up here, but I'm just saying, you know, there's supposed to be mutual love in the body of Christ.
Right.
You know, you're supposed to love your pastor, and your pastor loves you, and, you know, here we are, we're serving God together. You know, if you have bitterness and rancor toward me, in your heart. You just need to move on.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yep.
You just need to move on. And you know what? If I'm the problem, then I need to move on. If you're the problem, you need to move on. But you know what? It's not normal to have a church where you have people who are bitter and hateful toward the pastor, conspiring against the pastor, bad-mouthing the pastor, just trying to just overthrow the pastor. It's like, I'm here to overthrow Pastor Anderson. That's weird.
Yeah.
Okay? Because you know what? There are people here who want to be here, and they want me to be their pastor, and they want me to preach to them. And then there are other people who hate my guts and just come here to mess with me and try to hurt me and harm me and do what they can. And you know what? These are bad people, and they need to just hit the road is what they need to do. And you know what? If you're just, I just can't believe what Pastor Harrison's doing, then go somewhere else. And you know what? Quit having this weirdo cult attitude that says, like, we're the only right church or something. You know there are a lot of great churches here in the Phoenix area?
Yeah, that's right.
Did you know that? Did you know that if Faithful... Did you know that this whole building, if everyone in this building, if this building just collapsed on us and we all died right now, not to be morbid or anything, did you know that the work of Christ would continue?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you know that the work of Christ was going on long before any of us were ever born, and it will still be going on after we're all gone? Okay? And did you know that there are churches all over Phoenix? There are all kinds of King James Bible, Independent Fundamental Baptist, soul-winning churches all over Phoenix. And did you know what? They talk to God every day. They pray to God every day, and He listens to them. And God loves them. And did you know that the hairs of their head are numbered too? And God's working in their lives. And you know what? Their pastor gets up to preach, and you know what? He's filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know what God does? God gives him messages that he knows people need, and he's working in the lives of the congregation. He's working the lives. It's not like God's just up in heaven. He's just like, well, I only recognize one church in Arizona, and that's Faithful Word Baptist. You're an idiot, and you're insane.
Yeah.
God's not looking down and saying, well, there's one good church. It's one good church in Arizona. No, look, I guarantee you, he's looking down, and he's seeing candlesticks all over Arizona. So don't be a weirdo cult member. Okay, this is not, and people just freak out, like, you know, if I told them, hey, you're not welcome here, you're a rotten person, what are we going to do? It's like, you know, why don't you just go to a different church, you idiot?
Yeah.
Or in a positive, here's a positive example. People have come to me before and said, hey, you know, there's a court order that says I'm not allowed to go to Faithful Word. And yeah, there are a lot of court orders like that, believe it or not. People get in these custody battles, and their spouse, their ex, tries to use that. Like, I don't want my kid going to Faithful Word. And here's what I tell them. You know what? If it's causing you problems with your family and your kid, go to a different Fundamental Baptist church and serve God there. Don't let this ruin your family. Don't let the, you know what? If it's court ordered, then go to the other one. Amen? Who cares? Like, no, I have to go to Faithful Word. Look, if there's anybody who thinks they have to go to this church and they cannot go to any other church, then you know what? I don't even want you here because you're too weird for me.
Yeah.
You're too weird. If you think this is the only right church. Everybody else is unsaved. And then it's the same weirdo, over-the-top cult people who we're the only ones that are right that are the same ones that are like, except he's not right. Faithful Word is the only right church, but everything Pastor Anderson does is wrong. I need the old Pastor Anderson. A lot of people, the only right pastor to them is 2006 Pastor Anderson. 2020 Pastor Anderson is not even good enough. It's got to be 06 Pastor Anderson, the 24-year-old guy that knew everything. 24-year-old Pastor Anderson knew everything. 38-year-old Pastor Anderson, well, you know, that's another story. But when I was 24, I used to know everything, and I used to walk on water when I was 24. But now I'm 38, I'm a complete idiot. If you listen to these people, you're not going to believe this, but I've actually learned a lot since I was 24. But you know what? Hey, there are all kinds of good churches all over America. There are all kinds of good churches all over Arizona. And you know what? If you don't like our church, if you hate what we do, or just go somewhere else. Be happy. Life's too short to go to a church that you don't like.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And look, I could start listing churches. And you know what? Every time I get up and start listing all the good churches in Phoenix, you know what people do? People write to me and talk about how bad they are.
You're wrong. I found something wrong on their website. Blah, blah.
And I've even had people put up videos exposing me for promoting bad churches. Because I promoted the other churches in our area and said, hey, this is a good Fundamental Baptist church. Folks, have you ever read Revelation 2 and 3? Because those churches had some problems, and they still had the candlestick. So don't go to these crazy, unbiblical extremes, and don't broadcast people's sins. That is ridiculous, okay? It's not biblical. I've never taught it. I've never practiced it. And in fact, I do the exact opposite every week. I conceal the matter every week. Every single, and many times, multiple times a week, I conceal the matter. I cover the transgression. That's my job as a pastor, is to try to help people, not to hurt people and destroy their lives, to try to help them and restore them. That's what I practice. And the reason I get accused of not practicing it is because I'm so good at covering it that you never hear about it. And I'm so good at forgiving people that get restored, people are like, I've never seen anyone get restored to Faithful Word. That's because you live 3,000 miles away, idiot. It's hard to see from there. What kind of binoculars are you using? Because it's done privately, because it's a private matter. And here's a great big word to know what's appropriate to be discussed publicly and what isn't. Discretion. Discretion. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for forgiving our sins, Lord. Thank you for being merciful to us, because, Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who should stand? Lord, we'd all be doomed if we were held accountable for every sin, Lord. And thank you so much for not playing all my sins on a screen in heaven, Lord. And thank you so much for your forgiveness and your grace and mercy, Lord. Help us to extend that same forgiveness, grace, and mercy to others. And Lord, I pray that the people who've twisted things that have been taught and gone to these crazy extremes, Lord, I pray that they would get right and get their heart right and examine their wicked heart and get this spirit of gossip and talebearing out of their lives. And Lord, I just pray that we would practice what you taught us in the Word of God. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Turn our palm books to song number 28. Alas, and did my Savior bleed?